Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, entitled Further Talks Between King Rahugana and Judd Bharat. Text number 7. Is it number 7 on the board? Sure, Krita, Swaha, Kwa, Cha, Nirvina, Chaitaha, Sochchan, Vimuyan, Upayati, Kashmalam, Kwachit, Cha, Gandharva, Purham, Pravishtaha, Pramodate, Nirvrittavat, Muhurtam, Surhita Swa Kwacha Nirvina Chaitaha. Surhita Swa Kwacha Nirvina Chaitaha. Sochchan Vimuyan Upayati Kashmalam. Kvachit cha gandharva puram pravishtaha pramodate nirvritta van muhurtam shurehrita sva kvacha nirvina chetaha sochchan vimhuyan upayati kashmalam Kvachit cha gandharva puram pravishta pramodate nirvritta van muhurtam suririta swacha kvacha nirvina chetaha Sochchan Vimuyan Upayati Kashmalam Kvachit cha gandharva puram pravishta Pramodate nirvritta van muhurtam Kvachit cha gandharva puram pravishtam pramodate nirvritta van muhurtam Vachit chakandarva puram pravishtaha pramodati nirvritta van muhurtam Vachit cha gandharva puram pravishtaha pramodate nirvritta van muhurtam Okay, Matajis? Surahita svacha nirvina chetaha Sochandhi Muyan Upayati Kashmalam Kvachit chandarva puram pavistam. Pramodati nivrittam hamohartam. Okay, anyone else? Surai. By very powerful enemies. Hritasva. All of whose possessions have been stolen. Kvacha. Sometimes. Nirvina. Chetaha. Very morose and aggrieved at heart. Sochchan. Deeply lamenting. Vimuyan. Becoming bewildered. Upayati. Achieves. Kashmalam. Unconsciousness. Kwachit. Sometimes. Cha. Also. Gandharvapuram. An imaginary city in the forest. Pravishtaha. Having entered. Pramhodate. He enjoys. Nivrittavat. Exactly like a person who has achieved success. Muhurtam. For a moment only. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sometimes, being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose, and lamenting their loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible. But such so-called happiness continues only for a moment. Please repeat. Sometimes being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose, and lamenting their loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied if this is possible. But such so-called happiness continues only for a moment. Purport. The word Gandharva Puram is very significant in this verse. Sometimes in the forest, a very big castle appears, and this is called a castle in the air. Actually, this castle does not exist anywhere but in one's imagination. This is called Gandharva Puram. In the material forest, the conditioned soul sometimes contemplates great castles and skyscrapers, and he wastes his energy for such things, hoping to live in them very peacefully with his family forever. However, the laws of nature do not allow this. When he enters such castles, he temporarily thinks that he is very happy. even though his happiness is impermanent. His happiness may last for a few years, but because the owner of the castle has to leave the castle at the time of death, everything is eventually lost. This is the way of worldly transactions. Such happiness is described by Vijayapati as the happiness one derives upon seeing a drop of water in the desert. The desert is heated by scorching sunshine. And if we want to reduce the desert temperature, we need huge amounts of water, millions and millions of gallons. What effect will one drop have? Water certainly has value, but one drop of water cannot reduce the heat of the desert. In this material world, everyone is ambitious, but the heat is very scorching. What will an imaginary castle in the air do to help? Srila Vijayapati has therefore sung, Tattala Saikete Vari Bindu Sama Sutta Mitta Ramani Samaje. The happiness of family life, friends, and society is compared to a drop of water in the scorching desert. The entire material world is busy trying to attain happiness, because happiness is the prerogative of the living being. Unfortunately, due to falling in contact with the material world, the living entity simply struggles for existence. Even if one becomes happy for a while, a very powerful enemy may plunder everything. There are many instances in which big businessmen suddenly become paupers in the street. Yet, the nature of material existence is such that foolish people are attracted to these transactions, and they forget the real business of self-realization. Thus in Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyana timanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshul unmiditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Chi Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sometimes, being defeated or plundered by a superior, powerful agent, a living entity loses all his possessions. He then becomes very morose, and, lamenting their loss, he sometimes becomes unconscious. Sometimes he imagines a great palatial city in which he desires to live happily with his family members and riches. He thinks himself fully satisfied, if this is possible. But such so-called happiness continues only for a moment. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining how he's very optimistic in this purport. Srila Prabhupada is very optimistic. The mundaners may say this is a very pessimistic outlook. But actually, the devotee understands it is very optimistic. Because the devotee is nishkama. The materialist, bhukti, mukti, siddhi kami. What are they looking for? Bhukti, they want to just enjoy the senses to the extreme. Even the senses don't work anymore. They want to add some chemicals to make them work. Force it. Bhukti, mukti. They want to become freed from any anxieties in this material world. Anything that's giving them anxiety, let me think of a cure. Generally, we understand that any type of activity in this material world, the devotee understands, actually not only binds us more to the material world, but increases the suffering. The obvious example is the automobile. They're thinking, let me get the biggest, best automobile made, fastest, most beautiful. But then they go, there's a saying that the I-10 is the best free parking deal in the city. I watch all the best cars, they're sitting there just like everyone else. Where can they go? Last night I had an emergency. I got home just before 6. I thought I'd study for Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when you manage property, you become obligated. It's like you're married to the property. So I'm called up. My heater's not working. I had to go out last night at just after 6 p.m. because I'm obligated to do that. And what normally takes me 20 minutes to get to a place took me about an hour and 20 minutes because we're just sitting there. Where can you go? Can't even exit. You're stuck. So they invent the automobile to go faster. But where are they going faster to? They're rushing nowhere, really. They're not even rushing anymore. There's too many vehicles. No place to park them. Then they get tickets. And then there's all kinds of other problems. The vehicles break. But the worst of the problems, besides the pollution, I don't know what's the worst anyway. There's so many. But I think the statistics show that more people are killed every year in automobiles than all the wars combined, isn't it? Something like that? So many people are killed, and that doesn't even count how many people are injured in the automobiles. So just a couple of days ago, one state police officer was explaining an accident which the father, the mother, and all the children were killed. There's like 7 people inside of a vehicle, and most of them were not. They were blaming it on them not being buckled in. And the state police officer was explaining he was ready to throw up. He could barely explain the scene. He couldn't even talk about it. He was ready to puke. He said it was so ghastly. It was so horrifying. And they can't ask a dead person where they're. But maybe they were rushing for Christmas shopping. Oh yeah, it's Christmas time. Let's go shopping, you know. So anyway, such is the wonderful invention of the automobile. And if we take, practically speaking, any other invention, we can see it causes so much problem, so much headache. So many disasters are accompanied with it. So mukti, the materialists want mukti. They're trying to relieve all of their anxieties. It's cold, well, let's get a heater. It's too hot? Well, let's get air conditioning. This way they're trying to control the weather, but gradually, the environment is rebelling. It's rebelling. On the eastern half of the United States, too much water. Disaster from too much water. On the western half of the United States, so much drought. Total disaster from drought. Why can't there be this equilibrium? Because of their bad karma. Because of bad karma, it's not possible to enjoy more than you're destined. Neither is it possible to suffer more than you're destined. These things are already etched in stone. We cannot change these situations. Just like Prabhupada is explaining here how some big businessman, we think some big businessman must be beyond any type of disaster. But we see it very often in the news. This businessman's caught, you know, in scandals and everything is taken away. Everything's taken away. Or they may have all of their funds invested in the stock market and then the stock market totally crashes. They totally lose everything. I explained before that there are so many people that I meet. There's this person, he's been writing the insurance for the temple for 40 years. When I contacted him by providence, I contacted him. Oh yeah, where is such and such devotee? Where is such and such devotee? He remembers him from 40 years ago. You know, the devotees that used to be Jayatirtha, Karandar, so many names that he was throwing out. I said, well, you know, some of them aren't even allowing me anymore. Said, oh, wow, I'm sorry to hear that. He's asking, well, where have all you people been? You know, where have you been? How is it going? Well, I just lost everything I had. I just lost everything I owned in the stock market crash. I put everything there. My savings went from 6 digits to 7 digits to 8 digits, and now it's all gone. So he said, yeah, I should be retiring. I'm 66 years old now. I should be retiring, but I'm starting all over. Tell me that. And similarly, the person that prints for me, I have this little printing thing, but anyway, similarly, he invested everything in the stock market, lost it all. So he's thinking, yeah, I'll mortgage my house to the hilt. I'll get it all back. He lost all of that. I'll borrow it from my family. Borrowed $1 million from his family members. Hit up all his family members. Lost it all again. So not only is he not even starting from scratch, he's starting from millions and millions of dollars in debt. That's the nature of the material world. There is no relief. There is no relief. The only relief, bhukti mukti, siddhi kama. The other one is the cities. We're thinking that if we could see some of these mystic powers, you know, if Krishna flashed something in the sky, then I would really believe this is for real. Why can't Krishna just once? But we see that Krishna sent his son, and his son performed so many of these cities, walked on water, you know, rose from the dead, so many different things that he did. And the people hated him so much that they crucified him, which is a very, very horrible death. There's this group, and there are more than one group. There were groups in the Philippines. They showed this one group from Peru. And these people, every year, they hang themselves on the cross, nails in their hands, hanging from the cross. And it's such a ghastly scene. They show it right on the television. They showed it. This was during Easter. I saw that. To impress upon people the sacrifice that Jesus made. So, anyway, even though he exhibited so many of these cities, they still crucified him. So we're thinking that which is not, which is called Maya. We're thinking, yeah, if I see these cities, then I would really believe. But actually, there are many cities that we see daily. It's like Srila Prabhupada tells the story of the sage that was going to see Narayan. So he stopped on the way and he saw a cobbler. So the cobbler asked, oh, great sage, where are you traveling? Oh, I'm going to see Narayan. Oh, that's very wonderful. I'm going to see Narayan. Can you ask Narayan when it is that I will go back to Godhead, when I will be able to have his darshan, his association? So the sage said, oh, yes, certainly, of course. So then, a little more in his travels, he came across the Pukka Brahmana, who is engaged in so many austerities and doing everything perfectly, so many pujas, etc. So the Brahmana, oh, sage, where are you traveling? Well, I'm going to see Narayana. Oh, you're going to see Narayana. It's interesting. Okay. Could you ask him when I'm going to get his darshan? I'm here engaged in so many austerities and pujas and things like that. When will I get his darshan? So the sage said, yes, certainly, I will ask him. So the sage went. He met with Narayana, paid his obeisances, had his darshan. And then the sage asked Narayana, well, he explained, I met these two people. I met the cobbler and I met this Brahmin. And they want to know when it is that they'll be going back to Godhead, coming to have your darshan. So Narayana told the sage, you tell the cobbler that he will come back in this lifetime. He will come back in this lifetime. But you tell the Brahmana, it will take him many, many, many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes before he is able to return. So the sage left, didn't know how to reply, but anyway, he left, went back. He saw the Brahmana first. And the Brahmana said, oh, yeah, you went to... Oh. And then Narayana told the sage that, well, when they ask you what I was doing, you tell them that I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Because obviously you go to see Narayana. Narayana, they're going to ask, well, what was he doing? What was going on? So Narayana told the sage, you tell them I was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. So the sage went back. He met the Brahmana. And the Brahmana said, what's the good news? When will I see Narayana? When will I go back? So the sage replied to Narayana, said it's going to take you many more millions of births. So the Brahmana said, I don't think you saw. What is this? I can't believe this. This is not possible. What was Narayana doing? Oh, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. Oh, just see, you didn't see Narayana. So the sage, to avoid the offensive nature of the Brahmana, he left. And then he came to the cobbler. Cobbler means the person that takes the dead carcass, takes the skin from the dead carcass, and he's making shoes and different things, just like the mridanga has the leather strap. This is made by from the cows that die naturally. They're not slaughtered, although it may be suspicious, as I think I read recently that India is the largest exporter of cows in the world, next to so many other nations. That they make, this is their financial basis. But anyway, so the cobbler said, oh, you saw Narayana? And so they said, yes, I saw Narayana. And so the cobbler asked, when will I get his darshan? When will I be able to see him? So the sage told him, Narayana said, you're coming back in this very lifetime. And the sage, cobbler was very, very, very happy to hear, yes, I will be able to see Narayana at the end of this lifetime. So then the cobbler also asked, well, what was Narayana doing? When you saw him, what was he doing? So the sage told him, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler said, oh, how wonderful that Narayana is. Yeah, he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the sage said, oh, you accept this? He said, of course I accept this. And the sage says, how can you accept this so easily that Narayana was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle? So the cobbler, he said, just look around. He said, you see all these trees, so many trees. He said, Narayana is so wonderful, he's so powerful, that within these trees there are so many seeds. And the seed is so small. Some are, practically speaking, finite. You can barely see them. And he said, within this little seed, he has put this wonderful tree. He's put such a magnificent tree. He said, if Narayana can do that, certainly he can thread an elephant through the eye of a needle. So the sage understood, oh, just see the attitude of this cobbler. Just see the attitude of this cobbler. He accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the real opulence. This is the real opulence that's being spoken, or hinted at in this verse, that the real opulence is not the so-called Prabhupada explains the mesmerization of the material world, the phantasmagoria, the glittering of the material world. This is not the real opulence. The real opulence, as we know, the Vaishnava takes shelter of Krishna. Who is Aishvaryasha Samagrasha. Krishna is completely full of opulences. There's no lacking. So therefore, the devotee knows that Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Ata Eva Shanta At, let's see, Sakala Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta Ata Eva Shanta. That the devotee is Nishkama, that he doesn't want anything in the material world. He doesn't want anything. He's not hankering for anything in the material world. The Prakrita Bhakta. There are three levels of bhaktas. There are the Uttama Adhikari, the Majjhimam Adhikarya, and the Kanishta. Kanishta Adhikari. The Kanishta Adhikari, he's also known as the Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta is how it's pronounced. So the Prakrita Bhakta is thinking, I'm a devotee, I should have a lot of opulence. I'm Krishna's service, I should have a lot of, you know, Krishna should be pouring it on me. That's the Prakrita Bhakta. But he doesn't realize that if Krishna pours this opulence on me, then I may be distracted from my devotional service. I may be distracted from preaching. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he made the point that I wish I could sell the marble off of this beautiful temple that was donated. You know why? Because the devotees have become so interested in the marble that they stopped preaching. That was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's mood. That he wanted that there be preaching. That we're unhesitatingly, just like Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not here to flatter. We see many people from third world countries, they come to America, I'm here to make money. And if their family's at home waiting for the checks. So there's a whole connection there. You know, not just for themselves, there's a huge audience there waiting for them. What are you going to do? You're in America. But Srila Prabhupada said, I came to give only. I came to give them Krishna consciousness. That's all. Just like we go on Harinam and practically speaking, most people are like, don't waste my time. Don't waste my time. They look at us like, I met a lady the other day and I gave her my card. On my card I have Govinda Dutta Das. She said, Govinda Dutta Das, what does that mean? I said, oh, I'm a member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. She said, you mean those bald-headed people that wear orange robes? I said, yeah. That's right. But I said, I'm sorry. It's just how she said it. But anyway, I said, but we're different from the Buddhists. Because, you know, I explained it. Well, the Buddhists also, they shave their head and they also wear orange robes. And Buddhists are very respected people in the world. You know why? Because of the impersonalist philosophy. Impersonalist philosophy, you do any damn thing you want. And it's all one. It doesn't matter if you're exploiting to the max. It's all one. But their philosophy falls short when you tell them to hand you your wallet. Yeah, give me your wallet. It's all one. All of a sudden, you become a non-believer. But anyway, a very popular philosophy. That's why Srila Prabhupada, in his pranams, he has Nirvisesha Shunyavadi. There is a distinction between nirvisheshas and shunyavadis. Nirvisheshas They say there's no material qualities whatsoever. The impersonalists and the voidists. So the voidists just say everything is void. The Buddhists are more honest because at least they say there's no God. But the impersonalists are more dangerous, isn't it? The Mayavadis are more dangerous. Saying, yeah, you can do... It's all Maya. It's all Maya. But anyway, both philosophies are very dangerous. And this is the main consciousness in the world today. Besides just being outright just atheists wanting just to exploit and enjoy to the max. That's probably more popular. Anyway, they're very interrelated. They're very, very connected. So Prabhupada, in this purport, he's warning that such a mentality will just end in disaster. It will totally end in disaster. It's a Gandharva, what does he call it? Gandharva Pura. Pura means city. City of the Gandharvas. The Gandharvas are the heavenly damsels, the heavenly inhabitants. So it's just a dream. It's just a dream in the material world. Prabhupada uses the example, if one is lost in the forest, that he sometimes sees this Gandharva Pura. Who is that explorer that went to the, was it to the North Pole? Or the South Pole? That one explorer? And he wrote that he saw this paradise. This paradise, I think it was he went to the South Pole. Anyway, one of the poles. And everyone thought that he must have been hallucinating, but I think Sataputapu will explain that he must have entered one of the dimensions there, where there are different dimensions. That was Sataputta was promoting these different ideas, just like how the moon can be further away than the sun. So Sataputta had the idea, correct me if I'm wrong, that Bhumandala is like a stem, and on the stem, if the sun is here and the moon is here, if you're here, then the moon is further away than the sun. But the stem continues. If you're here, then the moon would be closer and the sun would be further. So I understand that's what Sataputta was working upon. He used the example just like if you meet someone at, let's say, 3rd Street and 5th Avenue, and you may tell the person that you're there, but you're in a building up on the 5th floor, but the person's on the 1st floor, you don't see each other. You don't see each other. But you're both there at 3rd Street and 5th Avenue. You're both there. But anyway, he used that example. So anyway, they have this dream, just like Prabhupada said, the mind does like that. In the mind, we can think of this Gandharva Pura, this castle, this Gandharva city. Or you can think of a golden mountain. And you can imagine so many things, just like when people open a business. Yeah, my business is going to do this. Yes, my business will do that. And then I'm going to have more. I'm going to, you know, expand like this. And this way they have their dream. It's like when people get married. They have their dream. Yes, I'm going to... My wife probably tells the story of the clay potter. He's making the clay pots. He's going to sell so many. His income's going to be so much. He's going to then marry. And then he's going to have some children. And this way he's making his clay pots. He's thinking like that. And he's going to make different kinds of clay pots. Everyone's going to like it. He's going to keep selling them. And like this. And then he's thinking, well, sometimes my family may give me some problem, and I may have to get angry at them and even chastise them. And this way he jerks and he kicks all of his clay pots, and they all break. Right? They all break. This way his total dream is shattered. He's looking at his big mess because he got too excited. How wonderful, wonderful the bright, bright future was going to be. And it's all shattered. So anyway, let's pray to Krishna that we don't get caught up in this phantasmagoria of the material world, and that we keep focused on, on preaching, on distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, on distributing the holy name, on distributing prasadam. This is our real purpose. And the more that we realize this, the more happy and happily situated we will become, because we'll be connected with Krishna. When we're connected with Krishna, it's like when the child is with his father, the child has no fear. So similarly, when we're connected with Krishna, our real father, then we have no fear. Again, there were many things that I looked up about this Vijayapati and how he sings this song. Prabhupada quotes Vijayapati many times, and he even gives a history of Vijayapati. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Otherwise, I can read about Vijayapati and a drop of water in the desert. Prabhupada, he speaks so often about the drop of water in the desert. One time he was asked, someone was challenging Srila Prabhupada, "How advanced are you?" The person raised his hand, "Swamiji, have you seen Krishna?" So Prabhupada's normal reply is, "Well, if I answer, how will you believe me?" You know. Another time he was asked, "Swamiji, how many windows are in the Empire State Building?" So Prabhupada's reply was, "As many drops of water as are in a mirage." How Prabhupada answered. So Prabhupada quotes from Vijayapati, who explains that the happiness of family life, society, friends, it's compared to a drop of water in the scorching desert. A drop of water in the scorching desert. So Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya was very, very fond of hearing the poems of Vijayapati. And Jayadev, and there's one more, Jayadev and Swarup Damodar, Bhava Mangala Thakur, these different sages. So I had it marked here, but I'm not finding it right now. But Vijayapati is a prominent, here it is. Vijayapati was a famous composer of songs about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He was an inhabitant of Mithila, born in a Brahmana family. It is calculated that he composed his songs during the reign of King Shiva Singh and Queen Lakshmi Devi in the beginning of the 14th century of the Shakar era, almost 100 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The 12th generation of Vijayapati's descendants is still living. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 13, text 42. Vijayapati's songs about the pastimes of Lord Krishna express intense feelings of separation from Krishna, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all these songs in his ecstasy of separation from Krishna. And she'll probably write more later, but I thought I would mention how we should understand these songs of Vijayapati are very, and they're listed here on the database, but there's no time now to read them. So again, any questions, comments, corrections? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada's Marathon Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Well, I don't have to.
What did it list? The songs or the books?
Both, if you look.
Oh, yeah?
Both.